for the second coming of Jesus Christ. You're listening to Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio.
You want us to walk in truth. Lord, you said in your word, the Apostle John said he had no greater joy than to see his children, his disciples, his converts walk in the truth. Lord, your word is the truth. We ask you, Lord, to anoint it this morning. We ask you to establish us in the truth. Give us discernment. Help us discern the times and the seasons that we're living in. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. We welcome those joining us by Blog Talk Radio. Hope you're having a good week, a good Sunday morning. I want everybody to take your Bibles this morning and turn first. We're going to turn to Matthew chapter 16. There's a lot of things going on, and as I was praying yesterday and even this morning, I got up very early and was praying for quite a while. The only thing that kept coming to me was to just share with you some things coming next month. September 2015 is shaping up to be a month packed with unprecedented events, some clearly signaling to us that we are in a significant time and that we're entering into a new time of end time prophecy. I want to read this in Matthew 16. We're actually going to read two parts of this. Matthew 16, verse 1. It says, the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting Jesus, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red, and in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the time. And he said, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. Now, we have to remember something here, that Jesus came the first time, and he was doing even what people admitted were miracles that no man had ever done, right? No man had opened the eyes of the blind, no prophet, no miracle worker, no magician, no astrologer, no Hebrew prophet had opened the eyes of the blind before. But Jesus came and opened the eyes of the blind in front of the Pharisees, in front of the Sadducees. I mean, they even said, this man does miracles that no one else does. Now, he also raised the dead to demonstrate his resurrection power and his creative power. I mean, he made limbs grow out that didn't exist, but to show that he was the creator. He did that in front of the Pharisees and in front of the Sadducees. He showed them his creative power. I mean, those are miracles that the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, the occultists, they can't do those things. But Jesus did those things. And then, of course, you know, there were hundreds and hundreds of prophecies around the first coming of Jesus that came to pass that those Pharisees and Sadducees should have known. They should have recognized. So it wasn't that Jesus was saying here that it's wrong to look at the signs of the times. In fact, he rebuked them for not discerning the signs of the times. What they wanted was, they wanted Jesus to do something for them right then and there that they desired. Okay? That's what they wanted. They just wanted Jesus to do a trick for them. Right? They wanted Jesus to do it on their command, on their desires. And he's just like, you just don't get it. The signs of the times are all around you. The signs of the times are in the prophecies of the Bible concerning me. I mean, he even told them one time, he said, you're blind guides. You search the scriptures, but you don't even see that all of them speak of me. They didn't even recognize it. It's important not just to know the scriptures. See, we have to remember something. The Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes had a good working knowledge of God's word, of the scriptures. But having a good working knowledge of the scriptures does not mean that you have discernment. Okay? It's good to know the scriptures. Don't get me wrong. You need to know the scriptures. Above everything else, you need to know in this world, you need to have a good, solid, working knowledge of the Bible. You need to know what God's word says. You need to understand the doctrines of the Bible, the great truths of the Bible, the foundational doctrines of Christianity. All Christians should know those things, should understand those things. But just knowing, say, the doctrine of the Trinity or the doctrine of the deity of Jesus or the doctrine of salvation through Jesus Christ alone, through faith and repentance, the doctrine of repentance for that matter, it's good to know all the truths of the Bible and the foundational truths. But discerning discernment and discerning the signs of the times or discerning the season in which you live takes more than just the knowledge of the scriptures. You have to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit of God. You have to have the Holy Spirit revealing to you, speaking to you, confirming to you not just what the scripture says, but what time you're living in, what you should be doing individually, personally. You should be recognizing where you live and what time you live in. And, folks, we're living in truly unprecedented times. I mean, there are things happening now, and the word keeps coming. You know, that was the word God gave me for 2014. I remember the end of December 2013, the Lord said the word for the next year would be unprecedented. And he told me there would be unprecedented events in global events. Like he even said the environment, said warfare, terrorism. I mean, he named it government, economy. And we kept up with it after that. It was amazing because, I mean, 2 days later started the most severe winter that North America has ever had. In fact, it broke, I think, in records, 49 states. It broke, you know, freezing cold records. Earthquakes doubled. Major earthquakes doubled in 2014. Doubled the average. unprecedented things happened. That's when Russia invaded Crimea. That's when ISIS really rose to prominence and began their reign of terror and brutality and really took Iraq and Syria and just by quickness and speed that shocked all kinds of people. The Lord told me in the end of 2014, he told me that the unprecedented event that started in 2014 would continue in 2015. And then he told me these words. He said that there will be a convergence of Bible prophecies in 2015. That means a lot of things would begin to come and begin happening at seemingly almost the same time. Well, that has been happening. In fact, I've been amazed at how many times I've seen the word, even from some secular writers, news writers, journalists, that there's a lot of things converging. And one particular article was about everything that's converging concerning end time events, concerning Bible prophecy, concerning serious things in the world, that everything seemed to be converging down on September of 2015. So let me just say this clearly. I'm not setting any dates for anything. I'm just going to share with you the things that are scheduled to happen, not that might happen in September next month, but the things that are already, we know, are going to happen for sure, the event. And then I discovered some things that are just mind-blowing to me, and I didn't have time to do a PowerPoint this morning. We might throw up some pictures. Kevin, if you can find a picture, because we're going to get to this in a minute, a picture of the CERN scientist holding the key. That's very important this morning. How many of you know what CERN is? Just one, maybe a little, two, maybe a little. Okay. Some interesting stuff going on. Well, let's just look. Let's look down. We're going to read another verse, passage here. And this again is Matthew 16. Go down to verse 13. One of my favorite passages in Scripture. Ought to be yours as well. One of yours anyway. Verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, one of the prophets." And he saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ, not a Christ, the Christ. Just remember that term, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the true church. Now, the true church is built upon, I know a lot of people like the Catholic Church likes to say that that Peter's the rock that the church is built on, but that's not what it's talking about. Two different words there. Peter, Petros, means little pebble. And Jesus said, "But upon this Petra, this mass, a mountain, I will build my church." So the Lord was saying that Peter was a piece of the rock. Isn't there an insurance company used to say, "Get a piece of the rock"? Remember that? That's really what it's illustrating here. Peter, just like all of us, the Bible calls us in 1 Peter that we're living stones. We're all living stones making up the temple of God. But Jesus is the rock. He is the foundation, the cornerstone. He's the Petra. He's the solid, big mass of rock. We talked about that Friday night in the Bible study, the rock that was cut without hand, that came out of heaven and destroyed the final Antichrist kingdom. And then that rock, it said, became a mountain that filled the whole earth. Well, that's Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Remember it says the rock that followed them in the wilderness and that gushed out water for 3 million people in the desert? That rock that followed them was Christ. That rock was a manifestation of Jesus Christ. He's called the rock of offense, the stone of stumbling. So he is the rock. Right? Remember, who was it? Def Leppard did that blasphemous song back in the 80s, Rock of Ages. There's an old hymn about Jesus called the Rock of Ages. Well, they changed it, said, no, it's not Jesus anymore, it's the Rock of Ages, it's rock and roll. I mean, blasphemy. They even say, we got the power and we got the glory. The devil hates the fact that Jesus is the rock. He's the rock of ages. And he hates the fact that when Jesus died on the cross for our sins, the Bible tells us in Revelation 1 that when he died on the cross, he went down into hell and he took hold of the keys of hell and death. All right? Matter of fact, let's read that. He took hold, go to Revelation 1. I'm going somewhere with this, trust me. Revelation 1. Appeared to John here. Look at verse 10. John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And he tells him what you see right in the book. And let's go on down. He gives the description of the glorified Jesus Christ. In verse 17, John said, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, fear not, for I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. Now somebody say, the keys of hell. Keys of hell and of death, right? Notice it also says, we saw where the Bible talks about that hell has gates, right? Gates are, what are gates? They're entrances, openings. Let me explain something to you. When Jesus said that, when Jesus taught this in Matthew 16, when he was standing, the place where he was standing at the foot of Mount Hermon when he said this. Now that's significant. Standing at the place that the book of Enoch tells us that the fallen angels came down, 200 of them descended and came down out of their dimension into our dimension. And these were the fallen angels who decided in a pact to agree to have relations with human women to create the race of the Nephilim, the giants. This happened on Mount Hermon, on the 33-degree parallel. Why did they pick there, the 33rd-degree parallel? Because 0.33 is also one-third. How many of the angels fell with Satan? One-third. Mount Hermon, there in Israel, became a gate of hell, an opening, an entrance where the fallen angels came through. And that's where Jesus stood there talking about, first of all, you're going to have to know who I am, the Christ, the Son of the living God. You're going to have to know by supernatural revelation, you're going to have to know me. This is what he was telling Peter. The church is built upon knowing Jesus intimately, knowing by revelation from the Father, from the Holy Spirit, that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, the Messiah, the only Savior, the only way, the rock of our salvation. But he says you have to know that intimately. You can't just know about that. You have to know it inside of you. It has to be spiritually revealed to you. That's what being born again is. It's when it goes from your head to your heart. It's when it goes from knowledge to transformation of who you are on the inside, so much so that you're willing to give up anything and any sin and any pleasure and any plan that you have. When you're willing to give that up, you know that something's happened on the inside of you. See, once I had that revelation of who Jesus really is and was and what he did for me on the cross and what it means for all eternity, to be forgiven of sin, to have the promise of eternal life in heaven forever, to also be with him and as the meek who will inherit the earth and everything, the universe and everything. He's the creator. He owns it all. He made it all. And one day he's going to say, here, to his people who follow him, who believe in him and follow him, he said, I'm going to give it all to you, everything to you. But Jesus went when he died on the cross and he said, what? I am he that liveth and was dead, and I have the keys of hell and of death. Now this gets interesting. Because he gives these keys to men, women, to his children. Didn't he say to Peter right here, I'm going to give you some keys. Right? Keys represent, everybody say this with me, keys represent power to open something, start something, to lock something. What binding and loosing means. Binding means we can close something up. We can seal it up. We can chain it up. We can stop it. That's what we do with demons when they attack. But the loosing part means we can open up. We can release. Now for Christians, what we're supposed to do with these keys is we're supposed to bind demons and Satan and devils and fallen angels in the name of Jesus. And we're supposed to command them to loose people, and we're supposed to loose people from their chains and their bondage. Right? We bind demons, we loose people. I know there was a woman going around in the church world named Liberty Safard saying that you should bind people's wills and loose demons. She literally taught that. And a lot of Christians bought that nonsense. But we have to understand that the spirit realm and the physical world are two different dimensions. Okay? But they're both very real. All right? Now you have to understand what the wicked are doing. Satan is furious that Jesus died on the cross and paid for our sin, and he also got these keys. See, it used to be when Adam and Eve sinned, they handed over the keys of hell and death to Satan, Lucifer, and his fallen angels and his powers. But when Jesus died on the cross and shed his sinless blood, he broke that power of Satan off the earth. He broke it off of us. And then he says, I'm going to give you some keys now through the name of Jesus, through the blood of Jesus, through faith in Jesus. I'm going to give you some keys. The devil's furious about it. Wait, let me see your phone. You got to see your phone. Now, trust me, she wants that phone back. And if I kept it very long, the longer I kept it, the more she'd want it back. And then if I wouldn't give it back, she would either try to find another one or another way. Do the same thing, right? We all like our phones. Well, that's what the devil, he is furious about losing these keys. Okay? Let me show you something else. Go to Revelation. And I know you're in Revelation. Go to Revelation 9. I've taught on this. And remember, I believe that this fifth trumpet was blown in 2008, and I have more confirmation of that. Okay? But I'm going to show you, again, the idea, the scriptural truth, the Bible truth, the revelation here, of a key opening a portal or a dimension or a gate or a way for hell to come upon the earth. You say it sounds weird, Pastor Dean, but it's in your Bible, so let's just read it, right? Revelation 9, verse 1, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key. The key. Somebody say the key. The key, not a key, the key. Isn't that interesting? The key to what? Bottomless pit. The abyss. The abyssuo in Greek. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit, and there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, Unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power, and has commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing nor any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. In those days shall men seek death and shall not find it. They shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared in the battle, and on their heads was as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions, and they had breastplates as it were breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and they were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And the king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue his name is Apollyon, or destruction. And he says here, one woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. Now that's important. One woe is past, and two more is coming. See, we see something happen. Now, the word star fell from heaven. The word star, especially in Revelation, can also be interchangeable and also mean an angel fell from heaven. He of the bottomless pit. Now, the bottomless pit is a reference to the abyss, Tartarus, Hades, Sheol, Gehenna. These are all references to hell. Hell is multifaceted. Everybody thinks hell is like just fire. No, it's not. In fact, we see it has the depths of hell. We see that hell is stirred to greet people when they come there. There's tormentors there. There's actually demon spirits or fallen angels that are assigned there to torment people when they arrive, to torture people when they arrive. Hell has different compartments. It has different levels. It talks about hell being enlarged, enlarging itself, meaning hell gets bigger as time goes on. But the Bible talks about there's gates of hell, there's entrances, there's open doorways between this world and that world. Mount Hermon was one of them, where the angels, fallen angels, came and made their plot to destroy mankind and to destroy the possibility of the Messiah coming by destroying the genetic makeup of mankind and polluting it. Satan has always wanted to use his vast knowledge of things in the universe that we're only now discovering, secrets of the universe. He wants to use that knowledge and use the technology to increase his ability. His whole goal is to gain back. Just remember this. Listen to me. The whole goal of Satan is to gain back these keys. Now, he knows he can't go rip them out of the hands of Jesus. So what he's got to do is he's got to try through mankind's assistance. Why does he have to have mankind's assistance? Because mankind has been given dominion over the earth. Has been given basically keys, authority, power. That's why the devil has to use mankind. He uses mankind to do things. He will also use technology. Just like, hey, you know what? We're using technology right now. And we may be speaking, half our church is absent today, so we're only speaking to a few, but this message will be heard today by dozens more and by hundreds more before the end of the week. Now, that technology made by man, but it's helping spread the gospel, and people are being touched by the Holy Spirit and being touched by the truth of God's word, the power of God's word, through this technology. Well, the devil uses technology as well. Everybody has a TV. He uses that one, right? Computers. I mean, people have been demon-possessed through listening to the wrong music, watching the wrong TV show. I remember when they said, when The Exorcist came out and people went to the movies, a lot of people got full demon-possessed, started manifesting in the theaters. Okay? But this key to the bottomless pit, now I'm going to share this with you. Remember, I said I was studying the trumpet. I had learned from Irvin Baxter that number two trumpet was World War II, number three was Chernobyl, but I didn't get settled in on what he thought was four and five, and I just kept looking at it and praying and saying, okay, I know that number six is coming, Lord. I was praying about this in 2011. Where we're at, the next stage is number six. I said, so there has to have been something already happened that was number five. And I honestly, you know, I've had to check myself. I'm like, Lord, did I really hear correctly on this? But I've shared with you. I preached it. I did not too long ago on Friday night. How that I was praying, and the Spirit of God told me that this abyss, the Urban Baxter says that these creatures that came out of the abyss with the breastplates and the crazy long hair of women and the teeth of lions and the sting of scorpions and, you know, that look like locusts. I mean, these are foul-looking, weird-looking creatures, right? He tries to say, Irvin Baxter tries to say that these are like attack helicopters and, you know, John was trying to describe war, but the Lord just, he finally, again, look at what the Scripture says and not what you think. Scripture says these things came out of the bottomless pit. So you have to ask, good, what lives in the bottomless pit? Attack helicopters and F-16s? No. What comes out of the bottomless pit are demon spirits, fallen angels, that 2 Peter and Jude says were chained there until judgment day, judgment time. So we see here that some angel comes to the earth with a key and opens the abyss or one of the gates of hell, and demon forces and fallen angels that have been locked up come out of that abyss. And this particular trumpet says that they hurt men for 5 months, but they don't hurt any grass or trees or anything. That's not what they are, because they're spirits. And so that's when I was praying that day, and I said, okay, Lord, these locusts are not real locusts. They're evil spirits. But they were released from the bottomless pit to devour something. Real locusts devour crops, which would represent livelihood. And so I'm sitting there praying about this, and I said, they're demons. They're released 5 months, and the Lord speaks these words to me. And you have to understand, my mind wasn't even going to this place. I never even thought of it. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said, this was in 2011, he said, the financial collapse, the global financial meltdown and collapse, particularly in the United States, but affected the global economy, happened in 2008. This trumpet was blown. What blew my mind is when I looked up that the crisis, now listen to this is mind-blowing. The crisis time of the financial collapse kicked off on September 15th of 2008 when Lehman Brothers declared bankruptcy and stock market began falling. And it was like domino effect. And the stock market went from about 14,000 or whatever it was at the high at that time, 13,000, I can't remember, but it dropped down to over a series of a few months, it dropped down to around 6,000. I mean, we had a complete market collapse. People lost entire retirement accounts, 401k. I mean, even within my own family, someone who had a sizable amount in a retirement account lost half of everything they had gained through the 90s, through investment. People lost their houses. Foreclosures in America hit record highs. Everybody knows about it. Well, what I found out was when it finally stopped, you know, we went through Bush's stimulus package late 2007, early 2008. Bush's package went through. But then, of course, Barack Obama was elected. And then when he comes into office, they were wanting another stimulus package, $700 billion, whatever, some crazy amount of money. And so when Congress finally agreed to it and Obama signed the second stimulus, Bush did one, Obama did one, when he signed it was on February 17th of 2009, and that's when the market started recovering and the economy appeared to stabilize. Because if the market would have continued to crash and panic would have continued to reign, it would have went on and completely crashed. Well, that was a period of 5 months. Exactly. 5 months. And so the Lord spoke that to me, and so I've been maintaining that I felt like that the abyss was opened in 2008. How are you going to freak out on me? And that these fallen angels, Abaddon, the destroyer, Apollyon, was released. All these fallen angels were released from the bottomless pit. I believe that's why we saw significant things begin to change in 2008. Barack Obama, America really began to take a turn. Pope Benedict declared we needed, at that time, 2008, he declared, right after that global collapse, he declared we need a world government, he said, to control the world economy. It was like something snapped. During that five-month period, just like the Bible says, many people wanted to die because they were losing their homes and all their savings and their assets. So many people wanted to die. Calls to suicide hotlines in some places went up 60% more. That's exactly what it said there. So it happened. I know it happened in 2008. And so I'm looking today at this stuff, that all these things that are going to happen this September. And I'm going to go through the list in a minute, but one of them is very significant, and it's about this thing called CERN. Now, let me just read this to you, because I think this guy gives the best short description for those of you who are not. And notice that the symbol for CERN here is three sixes. You see them? One here, and one there. 666. I love how they constantly hide that in different places here. Find my article that I pulled up. All right, here we go. You got another picture of CERN, the actual machine itself. There it is. Got any aerial shots of the area? There it is. It's huge. Let me read this. It's called the Large Hadron Collider. Is the world's most powerful particle accelerator. The machine is made up of superconducting magnets, which line a 27-kilometer loop homed 300 feet below the ground at the CERN Control Center in Geneva, Switzerland. The machine is the result of thousands of scientists and engineers planning and building over the last few decades. To explain simply what the machine does, it sends subatomic particles at the speed of light hurtling around the loop in opposite directions and then smashes them into each other. This Large Hadron Collider was first fired up. We'll tell you that in a minute. Anyway, they discovered a new particle when they first fired it up. And they discovered, they call it the God particle now. Anyway, they are this particle said to be the particle of all matter that led to the creation of the universe. CERN, what they want to do is to use this Hadron Collider to find out the fundamentals of our universe and how it was created. They want to recreate the Big Bang. I'm about to say, what if it's too big of a bang? But they want to create the Big Bang and find out what matter existed at the creation of the universe. But this is not the only major role for the machine. Now listen closely. With the Large Hadron Collider, CERN, they are expecting to find other dimensions and to open portals to these dimensions. If you have an image of, anybody remember the show Stargate? This is what they really are talking about. And this is not, this is how big it is. You see that? That's huge, isn't it? Anyway, scientists within this, we're talking about nuclear scientists and physicists and everything else, are saying that they do want to see if they can open up, rip the time-space issues and open up a black hole or a portal. They actually are hoping to be able to time travel. All right? Now, as crazy as all this sounds, I think what they're doing is much more, and they admit it, there is a spiritual side to this. Can you pull up a picture of the statue of Kali they put up in front of signs, buildings. They're mixing, and this is what's so wild. When you find that, put that up. But they've got a statue of Kali, the Hindu goddess of destruction and death and darkness. In fact, she is called the power of Shiva, which Shiva means is the god, the male god of destruction. But she's the power of him, right? She's that evil spirit that you see. Usually it's she's blue. She has multi-arms. She usually has a necklace of severed heads around her. And she's usually holding a severed head. Yes, that's her right there. And this is in front of the CERN building, right? Now, let me ask you something. Why do you incorporate with this CERN, this machine, that they're looking at trying to open up portals to other dimensions? Why do you have the Hindu goddess Kali, destruction? Isn't it interesting that the Bible says that the abyss is opened up, and what the king of the bottomless pit is Abaddon or Apollyon, which means destruction or destroyer. Okay? Are they telling us here that through Satan's assistance and the fallen angels' assistance in technology, which we believe that they've given knowledge to mankind of the secrets of the universe, are they opening a portal to the underworld? Now, here's what's interesting about this. Their own scientists, now this is not conspiracy theory, their own scientists admit that this is what they're trying to do. Okay? And let me read this. Y'all are going to freak out on this. This freaked me out this morning. Riding here, I'm reading this. She was driving. I wasn't reading and driving. They talk about the ladder, Jacob's ladder. Remember Jacob fell asleep in Bethel? And he had this dream that there was a ladder going up and down, the angels of God going up, ascending and descending this ladder. And when he woke up, he said that Bethel was the door to heaven. It was a portal, an opening. Remember Jesus said, I will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing? We got to stop thinking that these things are just all these things are just metaphors. They're not. They're literal. And there are places, and what was Bethel? Bethel became Bethlehem. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. The Messiah was born in Bethlehem, and he is the way, the door, the entrance. He's even called the door, you see, into heaven. All right? But the evil side, and remember this, all witchcraft and rituals done in witchcraft within the circle, the pentagram, the hexagram, they use. All those things are done to create an atmosphere or a portal for demons to come through, fallen angels to come through into our world and to work and to operate. Now, CERN, you're going to be surprised at this. The first time CERN, it took decades for them to build this thing. And the first time it was fired up was in 2008, September 10th, 5 days before the financial crisis. But it had a leak of helium or something, and they had to shut it down. But isn't it interesting that we're coordinated the opening of the abyss in Revelation 9, I had no knowledge of this thing in 2011. I didn't hear about it until this past year about CERN. Are they going to actually be able to do this? Are they able to open a dimension up, a gate? They think so. Did you find the key, the scientist with the key? Put that up there. They believe, look at this, that this is the key. Guess what? They fired it up in 2008. I believe that whether it in the scientific realm really works or not, because of the spiritual connotation of this, man, it's basically a ritual, and that's why they have Kali there. It's basically both a spiritual ritual mixed with science. See, this is what they do. And I think that real soon, when the appearance of the Nephilim pretending to be aliens comes, it's going to come in coordination with this thing. Now, why do I bring all this up? Because you know when it's scheduled to fire up again at full power? They're going to fire this thing up at full power. You know when it's scheduled to do that? September 23rd, 2015. Now, what makes this eerie? It's just like in the cartoons and movies. There was before 9/11 happened, before September 11th attacks on the World Trade Center, there were numerous references. Now people are looking back and finding all these references in many, many movies. We talked about it on the radio show Tuesday night. Many movies, cartoons, The Simpsons, X-Files, all throughout the Back to the Future movies, 9/11. The towers coming down. It was all foretold, I believe, by the Illuminati, the Satanists, and the people that run Hollywood. Again, I shared this the other night, that, you know, that they have to operate by the rules. And Jesus said that everything done in secret will be brought into the light. It will be preached from the housetop. So he even makes Satan and his people work by that rule. So what better way to leak information than through movies and TV? And they can say, we told them. We told them, 9/11, beware. Over and over. I mean, in the movie, this was wild. I watched the whole thing. In the movie, Back to the Future, when Marty's standing there and he's up at the, and the professor's up there at the clock, he's trying to warn him of a terrorist coming to shoot him. Terrorist. And the clock, the hand, this hand is on the 9 and this hand's on the 11. On the clock tower. When the car, the DeLorean goes down the road in the middle of the street and it ends up, you know, disappearing, and there's the two lines of fire down the middle of the street from the tires. On the building right here, there's like a, it's like an automotive store. It's got a big 9. And then the two lines of fire make 9/11. It's throughout the whole thing. It's over and over again. I mean, in The Simpsons, it talk about, she holds a magazine, says New York. And it says $9 for this little magazine beside the trade towers, makes a 9/11 with the trade towers. I mean, it's just over and over again. But there's another day that keeps popping up in movie after movie after movie after movie. And 9/23, even 9/23, 2015. Okay? Now, do we know exactly what's going to happen on that? No, I'm not trying to say we know. I'm just telling you, this is what's going on out there. So when you put together that with everything else that's going on, what's all this stuff? Let me just name a few things here. I have a list, 3 pages long, for September. Let's see. An Israeli rabbi, number one, an Israeli rabbi says the Messiah is coming. Now, we know that the Messiah they're talking about coming first, the one they're looking for, they're not looking for Jesus. They're looking for the false one that's coming, the Antichrist. You know what's interesting along that? So you got an Israeli rabbi saying that the Messiah is coming at this time. Right? Now, why is he saying that? Well, in the month of September, you've got Rosh Hashanah, which also they celebrate the creation of Adam and Eve. They say it's the same time period Adam and Eve were created. You've also got the 70th Jubilee to start on September 23rd. You've also got Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, that starts on the evening of September 21st. The Islamic Feast of Sacrifice, they're having their September 23rd through the 26th. There's the prophetic time cycle of the capture, recapture of Israel. I'm just trying to pull some of these out. The Feast of Tabernacles will happen. The final blood moon of the Tetrad, that final one is the 28th. I mean, it just keeps going. The Muslims say that the Mahdi is coming in this September. The Mahdi, to them, is their Messiah figure. But when they describe their Messiah figure, and we look at the Bible, I shared this Friday night, all his signs point to that he's the Antichrist. Bible Antichrist. So you've got all this crazy stuff going on. In September, what else? We got the Shemitah cycle that Rabbi Kahn has spoken of, that we are in these seven-year cycles, and at the end of these seven-year cycles, something changes, something dramatically changes. Yep, the majority of great economic collapses in history happened on the Shemitah. The last one, 2008, September 2008. The one before that was September 2001. Are you getting the picture? All right? These things are all scheduled to happen this next month. On top of that, you have an unprecedented event. The Pope is coming to speak to the United States Congress, and then he will go speak to the UN. And they are launching their new directives. You had to find that one, didn't you? He's going to speak to the U.S. Congress. He's going they're going to do an inauguration-type size event outside the Capitol on the mall. He's going to speak at the UN to launch the new sustainable development global plan to bring the world under full control of the UN. Some people say, are wondering that if he's here, calm the American people when the bovine excrement hits the fan. September 21st just happens to be the UN International Day of Peace. 2 days before, they crank up the Hadron Collider at full power. We don't even know what it's going to do. This is all next month. You hear what I'm saying? Also is scheduled next month, the UN resolution for the state of Palestine to divide Israel. Do you know what happens when that decree comes down to divide the land of Israel from the beast world government, United Nations? Do you know how significant that is? Now, that's scheduled to happen in September. Well, I'm not saying it will. These people can change stuff. I'm just telling you that's what they have scheduled. I have no doubt that it will coincide with the visit of the Pope, September. In those movies, all the movies, what was the one with Morgan Freeman? Oh. And that, what's her name? Tia? Her name? Blonde chick? Or something. I think it was 97, 98. I don't remember now. What was the name of that movie? Extinction Level Event movie. Morgan Freeman's the president. Huh? Deep Impact. That was it. Deep Impact. Guess when the destruction came, the meteor, the comet, whatever came and hit the earth. And you know, really what they're saying is that the numbers, the date that keeps coming up is September 22nd, 23rd. Because somewhere on the planet on that, it's going to be September 22nd while it's September 23rd. Right? And these dates keep popping up. We played a video of a show the other night that was talking again to the September 23rd imagery. Now, again, I'm just telling you what they're saying. I'm not making a prediction. But I will say this. Something, we would have to be blind, stupid, or just hard-headed to not pay attention, as Jesus said. You know, we can look at the sky and see tell if it's going to rain. He's like, look around you. Look around you and see what the time you're living in, particularly now, right? Most economists now are predicting that the collapse will happen or begin between September and December of this year. Now, again, whether that will happen or not, they've gotten this wrong before. But there were guys who predicted, you know, economists who predicted what was going to happen in 2008 before it happened, and they were right. So somebody's going to end up being right, and somebody's going to end up being wrong. But one thing we can say, there is something very significant about this particular September 2015. Things happening that never have happened. And can you play? I want you to play. You know that weird video you sent me? Yeah. Well, it was it UNESCO or UNICEF? This is a UN commercial. I think it's in Spanish, but we don't need, you won't need the translation, because I'm going to share this part here, and hopefully I'll close out here in a second. But while he's getting that queued up, let me just say this. If they fired up the CERN Hadron Collider in 2008 just briefly and not even at full power with both their technology and their spiritual side of this going on, and it opened the abyss, it literally was the ritual or the act of mankind with, in conjunction with fallen angels, with the key to the bottomless pit. You get what I'm saying? I'm not saying this technology can actually open this dimension. I don't know that it can or it can't. Maybe it is. Maybe the technology we've really developed. I mean, Einstein did figure out that there were other dimensions and that things were possible to reach them, but mankind didn't have the knowledge to do it. But whether they can do it through technology alone or not is not the issue. The issue is the spiritual side. Why is the statue of Kali there if you're not incorporating a spiritual aspect of destruction? How in the world is that? I mean, do we not see? It can't be a coincidence when we see the opening of the abyss in Revelation 9 with a key, and it just happens to be the king over them is Abaddon or Apollyon, which means destroyer, which is the same thing that Kali or Shiva means, destroyer. You hear what I'm saying? What is going to happen next month? Nothing? I doubt that. If anything, I believe the foundation will be laid for a whole new era in end-time Bible prophecy. It may be drastic and dramatic and quick. It may be gradual. But it's a demarcation point. Now, I also believe this. Think about this. The Pope, what day was he speaking to the Congress? Is it on the 24th? I know he meets with Obama on the 23rd. But remember, this is what some people claimed, and I think information was leaked from CERN people. But the real reason they shut it down is because otherworldly entities started appearing there at the CERN headquarters. September 24th is when he's going to speak to. So September 23rd, CERN's supposed to fire up, which is supposed to open further portals or the gates of hell. Chaos, destruction. But remember, the Illuminati and the Freemasons believe this is their motto. It's Ordo, how do they say it? I don't know. I can't remember the Latin way to say it. But basically, order out of chaos. So they believe that creating the chaos and the destruction and the mayhem and the all, everything, that then they can reorder the world the way they want it after the chaos. So this is what they believe. But think about this. Is this CERN? Now listen to me closely. Is CERN just, is it just a Wizard of Oz trick to give a scientific reason or answer for the Nephilim to appear or the aliens to appear and that they came through the portal? Because one of the biggest arguments of scientists against aliens is that even if they have superior technology or aircraft or machines, to travel from distances so far, it would take, you know, millions of years. So what the theory is if there were, this is what was in the movie Contact, that if there are wormholes or portals created that can link us to different dimensions, it's like the warp drive. That's linking to a different, to warp time and space, so that you just hop from one point to another. But what if CERN is just going to be a scientific explanation of how the aliens, which we know will be the Nephilim and the fallen angels, the great deception, claiming to be aliens, what if they're going to crank this thing up on the 23rd and on the 24th? What if it happened? I'm not saying it is. But what if it happened that the Pope and the President and the United States Congress walked out an entity and said, they are here and they are here to help us? Now you put that into context, here is a United Nations commercial, absolutely creepy, weird, about accepting a little alien child. That's from the movie Contact. And that was a machine built to create a portal or a wormhole so that she could travel. That the aliens sent us the technology to build this thing so that she could travel to their place. It's I'm telling you, it's really weird. But let's watch this video here. Except the little alien people that are coming. UNICEF commercial to accept the little alien child. I mean, look at this. I'm just blown away. Could they not be sending a clear message? They're wanting us to be accepting of these creatures. Now, everybody, people listening to me right now, you guys listen. That just all sounds crazy, Pastor. Well, why is the United Nations making commercials like this? Couldn't they just put a, you know, a dark child in a white school or a, you know, white child in a mainly dark people, skin people, and say, you know, we need to accept people of other races? Wouldn't that be more needful in this world we live in of race issues, right? But no, they use a little green alien boy. It's like we don't treat them bad when they come. Folks, a great deception is coming. As it was in the days of Noah, Jesus said, so will it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. The Jews believed Messiah's coming very soon. But what they mean is not but Jesus. They're not looking for him to be Messiah. They're looking for another Messiah. The Islam says that their Messiah figure is coming there. Again, false Messiah, Antichrist. Remember, Jesus said there will arise false Christ and false Christ. And they will show great signs and wonders, insomuch that they will deceive the very elect. We haven't seen anything. Do you think we've had false prophets so far? Do you think we've had some false counterfeit signs and wonders? Trust me. We have not seen what the Bible talks about in Matthew 24 and in 2 Thessalonians 2. We have not seen the great lying wonders of Satan just yet. And it is coming. And it is coming quickly. And a lot of people are going to believe that through technology and science is what these entities are, that that's how they've gotten here. To fool people, to fool them and keep them from understanding that these are spiritual forces. These are fallen angels. These are demons that have come out of the abyss. Yeah, they come from another dimension, all right. But here's the good news. I'm going to finish with this. Listen to me closely. This is why you need to be well acquainted and understand the authority you have as a believer, disciple, follower of Jesus. See, their keys are to open the gates of hell. Jesus said, remember, the gates, plural, of hell, the openings, the entrances, shall not prevail against my church. You hear that? Now, that everything that calls itself a church is not a church. Everything that calls, every person that calls themselves a Christian is not a Christian. But he said to my church, he said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell, the opening, the entrances, the portals, the dimension, when they come into our dimension, when they come against us fighting, they shall not prevail against, they will not destroy the church. Now, there'll be martyrs, there'll be some suffering, there'll be some persecution, but Satan will never be able to completely annihilate the church, because Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. But the key to that, them not prevailing against you, is understanding your power and authority in Jesus to bind the demons and the fallen angels and Satan and to resist them. And even if these entities appear that are half human and half fallen angel, the Nephilim, you still have power against the demonic side of them. That's why David was able to defeat Goliath. It wasn't just a physical battle against a physical battle. It was a physical battle, but it was also a spiritual battle. Amen? David had to have spiritual help to defeat Goliath, because Goliath was both physical and spiritual being. He was a Nephilim giant. We will fight these things again. Many people, though, are going to be deceived. Listen, I've preached on it, I've taught on it, I've showed you. The UFO phenomenon that's going on across the world is not an accident. Satan is not putting on this show in the heavenly realms, in our atmosphere, and even in outer space. He's not putting on these shows of false-looking ships and cylinders and all these things. He's not doing it just bored. He's not doing it because he doesn't have time to, more, you know, other things he needs to do with his time. He's doing it because he's setting the human race up for the greatest deception of all time, to accept these. And that's what that little commercial was. When the little green people come with the big eyes, with the almond eyes and the weird reptilian look, and maybe even the, elongated skulls, as Kevin said back there, or however they look, saying, don't be deceived. These are Nephilim. Some of them will be physical entities. Some of them, and notice at the end, he had powers to levitate those people. Oh. And what were they telling you? Oh, yeah, he's weird. He's different looking. He's got green goopiness on your pencil. But look at the power he has. He can't do. That's what when they all go, they'll help us. They'll help us. Everybody's going to think I'm crazy. But I'm telling you, Dr. Stephen Greer, the Disclosure Project, people, elites in Hollywood, politicians, are all saying the day of disclosure, when this is revealed, they said, and I have looked it up, Greer said he believed it would be 2015. I'm just telling you what they said. We are dealing with forces, and you know, here's what's interesting. Mike Pitts' daughter, Kendra, who was in the car wreck a few weeks back, stopped breathing. Sister was standing there when the paramedics resuscitated her, got her to the hospital. She was basically unconscious for 2 weeks. You know what she said? She was unsafe. She was partying, drinking, partying it up that day. Doing drugs, you know, messing around. I don't know if she's doing drugs that day, but the person driving the car had been doing drugs. But she said the whole 2 weeks she was unconscious. And this girl didn't know the Bible. She didn't know anything about the Bible, really. Very little, especially not about hell. She said, got all these levels, all these compartments, all these places of torture. She even talked about Satan. She said, he's nothing. That when he is finally brought down to the pit, the people in hell will look at him and say, you that did all this destruction and brought down nations, it was you. You're nothing. But she said she was in hell that entire time. She said it's a horrible place. Torment, torture. She said, you don't want to go there. But you know what she said? Now think about this. This girl didn't know, she didn't know anything about Bible prophecy. She didn't know anything about the book of Revelation. She goes, there was a point. She told me this when I went and visited. There was a point. She said, there has been a release of demons on the earth like never before. And I said, yeah, Revelation 9 says that the abyss would be opened and entity, fallen angels and demons that have been chained there for a long time, who have not been allowed upon the earth, would be allowed in the last day. She goes, it's happened. I saw it. Do this. Understand, you have power in Jesus' name, but you've got to be in prayer. You've got to be in the Word. You've got to use the keys of the kingdom, binding and loosing in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. You've got to be walking in obedience and walk in the light of God's Word so you can be covered by the blood of the Lamb. We are fighting new forces that have never been upon the earth. Think about this. They were chained a long time ago. They might have had a brief time, and they were so evil and wicked and bad that God said, I'm chaining some of them up. I'm going to chain some of them up so they can't destroy the earth. But at the end, they're going to be loose, let out. That's what we're dealing with. We are in a new realm of spiritual warfare, and I believe that next month, they're going to put their foot on the gas to speed it up. So it would do you well to be prayed up, be fasting, be in the Word, to strengthen yourself spiritually, emotionally. And also, I'm going to say this. If you got any preparations you need to make, any fast little things you think you need to get before there's any, whether it be collapse of the economy. You know, John Kerry, just the other day, the Secretary of State, the Skull and Bones member, said, and I quote, he was speaking to people, I guess he was speaking in a publicly because he wanted Congress to hear it, but he said, it's basically, if they don't approve the Iran nuclear deal of Obama, that the U.S. dollar will not be the reserve currency any longer. And then he said, there's already talk of this out there. There's already undercurrent. What was he doing? He was basically threatening the United States Congress. If you don't do what Obama wants you to do, if you don't go through with this nuclear deal, then the dollar will not be the world reserve currency anymore. And if the dollar shifts from not being the world reserve currency anymore, the United States stock market, the United States economy will be annihilated overnight. Because that's all it's built upon anymore. We don't have the gold reserves. We don't have anything. It's built upon one thing, that people have to trade oil in U.S. dollars. And if that gets, that's done with, then you know, like I said before, your paper money. Now, why is John Kerry saying that? John Kerry, not conspiracy theorist on the internet. Make your preparation. You say, well, Pastor Dean, what if nothing happens in September? You're just more ready for when it does. Amen? Aren't you glad that Jesus died on the cross to give us the keys of hell and death? Key, we don't have to spend decades to build a Hadron Collider to open portals and to deal with the forces of darkness. We don't have to do that. We have keys. We have power in the name of Jesus. And you know what? That's why all these forces out there hate us. Why they hate Christians. Satan, the fallen angels, the demon spirits, and his seed, the Nephilim, they know we have the keys. We have the power against them. They cannot prevail unless they can deceive enough of mankind. Unless they can get us away from walking in the truth of God's word. Unless they get us away from walking in holiness and righteousness. And yes, if they get us away from spiritual warfare aspects. That's why there's been such a war on the teachings of spiritual warfare over the last 10, 20 years. So Christians would stay ignorant to how to battle these things. But I'm going to say this to you. If you're not walking in Jesus Christ, righteousness, holiness, obedience, and faith, you're just going to be prey to these people. They're going to have their will with you. They're going to do what they want with you. It's not a game. Just look at the Middle East. Think that's a game over there? Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you help us to discern the times and seasons we're living in, so that we'll know what we ought to do spiritually, emotionally, mentally, even physically, to prepare an ark for our family. Lord, we don't believe around here we're going to be raptured out of here before anything bad happens. That's just nonsense, doctrines of men, false security. You want us to prepare and to be a light in that darkness, be a light in that time period, to let our light shine. But we have to be strong. So, Lord, I ask you to strengthen my brothers and sisters, spirit, soul, and body. Strengthen them, let them get in your word so that the word of Christ dwells in them richly. Let them be filled with the Holy Spirit with fresh oil and anointing so that they'll be a wise virgin full of oil, full of the Holy Ghost, full of the truth. Let them understand that they have great power and authority as a true believer to bind demons, to resist the devil, to cast them out in the mighty name of Jesus. That the armor of God is awesome and real. Lord God, that we have got to understand what's going on around us so we can fight it. Lord, we know that this month is marked by you and by the enemy, by Satan, as a significant month, September coming up. Many events taking place. We're going to have to wait and see what they all mean and how they all work out. But Lord, I know we're entering into a new time. Let us, Lord, not be caught off guard. You didn't ever want your people to be caught by surprise. We're listening to you. We would be warned. pray for your anointing, your power. And if we've been given in to the powers of darkness and to temptation and to sin and to disobedience and to unrighteousness, and whether it be sexual immorality or whether it be drunkenness or drugs or alcohol or rebellion or anger or unforgiveness, help us deal with our sin, Lord, and get it out. Let us walk cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Walk in righteousness. Walk in the light of your word. I pray this for everyone here, for everyone listening, for everyone who will listen to this message. In Jesus Christ, holy, pure, filled with the Holy Spirit, ready to go. Amen. Father, I pray this morning. Amen. Amen. All right. Who wants this list? All right. Y'all know what to do. Let's, am I going to hang out here much longer? Appreciate those listening by Blog Talk Radio. Let us know you were out there.